97.9 The Hill and Chapelboro.com present Today's Business with Sharon Hill. Listen as Sharon Hill discusses trending topics in today's business world with entrepreneurs and leaders in our community and what they're doing to provide innovation and guidance for success. Find this and all episodes at WCHL's website, Chapelboro.com. Now, Today's Business with Sharon Hill on 97.9 The Hill.
Hello and welcome. My guest today is Dr. Steve Chaney, Professor Emeritus from UNC Chapel Hill, scientist and author of Slaying the Food Myths. Steve, thank you so much for coming and talking to me today.
Sharon, it's great to be here.
Thank you. Steve, you're a longtime friend of mine, and as long as I've known you, you're completely involved with health. First question, when and why did you get so involved with health?
Well, I guess like many people, I married up. My wife was raised by what we called a health nut back in those days. So she started feeding me nutritious foods. So we started, started learning about that. And as a scientist, I started to read the literature to find out what this was all about.
Got it. So you married up to your lovely wife, Suzanne, and there we are.
Absolutely.
So when you first got involved, you said you were reading about health, but now, I mean, you're ingrained with it. You've got a blog, you've got a book we're going to talk about. Why are you still so involved with it?
Well, you know, nowadays, what really got me interested in writing the blog and writing the book is when I was teaching metabolism and nutrition to medical students, I found many of them came in believing these bizarre myths that are perpetuated on the internet. People write popular books about them, get repeated over and over again so that people believe, the public actually believes that. And as I did public speaking, I found the same sort of thing. And I said, there's got to be somebody who knows biochemistry, who knows metabolism, who understands the scientific method that can speak to this and correct some of those myths.
How do you do your research? Where do you start?
Well, usually, it's kind of interesting. I will often start with the headline of the day. The headline, sometimes I'll say, if you eat this, it's going to be great for you. The next day, I'd say, it's going to kill you. But I start with whatever the headline of the day is, and I go to the papers behind it, the studies behind it.
Got it.
And analyze them from the viewpoint of a research scientist so I can tell people, can you really put faith in that, or should you disregard it?
Very good. Common sense with the way you present it as well in your blog and in your book. Tell us about your blog. Tell us about your book, please, the titles of both.
Well, the blog is Health Tips from the Professor, and that was the first thing I did when I retired from teaching medical students. So I've been doing that for, I think it's about 5 or 6 years now. And that's something I've really enjoyed, trying to get out new information every day that counteracts some of the myths that are out there, but speaks to the headlines and provides real information that people can use in their everyday lives. And then I decided, I need to reach a broader audience. So that was sort of the genesis of slayingthefoodmyths.com, hoping that I can help even more people to really understand what's true and what isn't true out there so they can lead healthier lives.
And that's really why you're on the show today, because you want to talk to people about leading healthier lives. You've done so much research, so much. Your blog comes out weekly, I believe.
Weekly.
Right. And your book, bestseller, it just says so much. You're here to tell people this is what you need to know. Let's go into some more details. What are you telling the people to help save their lives, Dee?
Well, first place, I'm trying to sort out the food myths about saturated fat, about sugar, about protein, all of these things. You hear viewpoints on one side. Either it's great for you or it's terrible for you. And it's usually the truth is somewhere in between. I'm trying to give people the truth so they can follow a good, healthy guideline. I'm trying to tell people, there's so many different diets out there. And I'm trying to tell people, most of these diet books are written by somebody who's a self-appointed guru. They're going to tell you that their diet is the best and tell you how to follow that diet. What I'm trying to do is evaluate the pros and cons of the diets and say, there are a variety of healthy diets, and here are some guidelines that you can use to choose the one that's best for you.
Did you ever, before you got religion as far as health concerned, get involved with any fad diets?
No, I really didn't, other than, you could, if you call the typical American diet a fad diet, yes, I was guilty as a growing up and as a teenager. That was how I ate.
I know I read in your book you were saying when you were a teenager, everybody else was doing it, or your 20s. You have a chapter in your book about if you knew then when you were 20. Why don't you share with the audience some of the things that the 20-year-olds might be doing now that could be detrimental down the road?
Well, I ate fast foods. I drank sodas, ate fast foods. Didn't really think that what I ate mattered. After all, this is what everybody else was eating.
Right.
My father prided himself on being able to cook and grill the perfect steak. So we had a lot of meat, a lot of red meat. My mom believed in a balanced diet as long as it came from a box or a can. So it wasn't a lot of fresh fruits, fresh vegetables as part of my diet. And to me, that was normal when I was growing up. And so when I met my wife and started to learn about healthier eating, healthier nutrition, and really looked at the science behind it, that just started a gradual change to a healthier lifestyle.
You also say that don't trust, my word, not yours, doctors are not the end-all, be-all of diet. I think you wrote, you are in charge, not your doctor. Tell us about that.
And I wanted to say that with some respect because I don't want people reading my book and saying, and so just ignoring the advice of their doctor and saying, well, I'm going to go on this good diet. I'm not going to take medications. That's not where I'm coming from. What I'm trying to give people is information that they can discuss with their doctor and ask, you know, what if I followed a diet that would help me lower my blood pressure? What if I followed a diet and a lifestyle that would help decrease my risk of heart disease? Partner with your doctor on this because they don't want to overprescribe medications. Generally, they're going to be delighted if you're willing to take some responsibility on your own.
So you give them information to take to the doctor, but don't let the doctor just tell you exactly this is what you need to do without all the sort of information that you know, maybe I shouldn't do this, maybe I should do this. You're arming people to be smarter when they talk to their doctors.
Absolutely. All the right. Doctor should be part of this discussion.
Steve, if somebody want to get in touch with you to say, tell me more, how can they do that?
Well, I've got a website for my blog. It's healthtipsfromtheprofessor.com. And I've got a website for my book, slayingthefoodmyths.com. And there's contact me segment on both of those. So that's the best way to reach me.
As you said, if people want to know more about health tips from the professor, just Google health tips from the professor or go to www.healthtipsfromtheprofessor.com. Perfect. They can find you. Steve, let's take a break. And when we come back, let's hear more about your fabulous studies. Okay. You're listening to WCHL 97.9 The Hill. My guest today is Dr. Steve Chaney, professor emeritus from UNC Chapel Hill, scientist and author of Slaying the Food Myths. Please stay with us. Do you really want to hear what he has to say?
We now return to Today's Business with Sharon Hill on 97.9 The Hill. Today's Business focusing on business, innovation, and success right here in the Chapel Hill-Carborough community. Once again, your host, Sharon Hill.
And we're back. My guest today is Dr. Steve Chaney, professor emeritus at UNC Chapel Hill, scientist and author of Slaying the Food Myths. Steve, myths. Let's talk about these myths. Where do they get started?
Well, it's kind of interesting. If you look at the people who write some of these popular books and the popular blogs, they aren't trained scientists, so they don't understand the strengths and weaknesses of scientific studies. They tend to quote whatever scientific study backs their viewpoint, whether it's a good study or a bad study. You also have to understand there's a tremendous temptation to, as I say, go over to the dark side. If you want your blog to really resonate, you want to have thousands and thousands of followers, you want to sell a lot of books, it's the man bites dog story. It's a spectacular that gets people's interest. It's when you tell people this is something that the American Heart Association or the National Institutes of Health aren't telling you. You know, this attracts readers, but the spectacular isn't always accurate.
Okay, well, let's talk about some of those myths, because you pinpoint quite a few. Let's go ahead and start with sugar. Dangerous, not dangerous. The supplements, not supplements, what do you call it, the sweeteners that aren't sugar. Bad, good. Let's start there.
Okay, so actually you gave me two topics.
Two. Yes.
So let me just start with sugar first. And again, sugar, you hear sugar is terrible for you. It's going to cause inflammation. It's going to cause cancer. It's going to cause diabetes. It's going to cause heart disease. And then you'll have some people say, well, sugar's fine. Don't worry about it. And as usual, the truth is somewhere in between. So what we need to understand, there are a couple of points I make in the book. One is that there are no sugar heroes. There are no sugar villains. If you look at today's villain, for example, which is high fructose corn syrup, and you compare it with healthy sugars, things like honey, things like agave sugar, the ones that we all have been told are healthy, their composition is virtually identical. The same amount, the same types of sugars, there's not really a difference.
Let me make sure I understand this. I totally avoid anything that says high fructose corn syrup, but you're saying that it has the same composition as some of
the so-called healthy sugars.
The so-called healthy sugars. That's amazing. Go ahead.
And so one of the things, you know, they talk about with age comes wisdom. I say with age comes perspective. When I was a young man, there was a book called Sugar Blues, and at that time, all the villainy was around sucrose. It was going to cause you to be overweight. It was going to cause you to increase your risk of heart disease, diabetes, all these things that today we're told that high fructose corn syrup does. So, you know, with that little bit of perspective. But here's the other point that I make in the book. You have to ask the question, is it the sugar or is it the food?
Oh.
Just to give you an example, you have the same amount and the same types of sugar in a soda and an apple. Sodas are bad for you. Apples are good for you. Was it the sugar or was it the food? There's a lot more into that that I go into in the book. But, you know, we have to understand it's the foods that are good for us or bad for us, not the sugar per se.
So fructose, which I consider part of fruit, I always consider that healthy sugar. Is it an it depends?
Well, so in an apple, you have a mixture of fructose and glucose. In high fructose corn syrup, you have a mixture of fructose and glucose. So it's the same sugar in the same amounts, but the apple has fiber in it. It has a little bit of protein. It has a lot of things that slow the absorption of that sugar into the bloodstream.
Oh.
And that's really the defining difference, how rapidly the sugar gets into the bloodstream.
This is all in your book.
All in the book.
That kind of explains. How about the sugar substitutes?
Okay, so that's an interesting question. So that seems like a no-brainer, right? You add a no-calorie sweetener. That's going to help you lose weight. It's got to be good for you. And there's a whole industry built up around that. But in point of fact, if you look at the clinical studies, it really isn't backed up by clinical studies. So if you look at clinical studies, people tend to gain just as much weight with the sugar substitutes as they do with the sugar. It's with the sugar itself, and we don't know why that is. There are all sorts of theories out there that it might be physiological, but it could very well just be psychological. We're drinking those diet sodas, so we think that allows us to eat more junk food. So we don't know what the cause is, but. And it doesn't really doesn't help us lose weight.
That's amazing. We see ads where you hear people drinking Diet Coke as they have their hamburger and fries and cheese and all this kind of stuff, but the Diet Coke.
That's exactly the problem.
Oh, my gosh. Steve, another point you always make, well, you made in your book, is your tastes will change. Please explain that to our audience. Your tastes will change.
Well, I think that's the fear for most people. If they give up the foods that they love, and I really should rephrase that, you don't necessarily want to totally give them up, but you want to eat them less frequently, and you start substituting fresh fruits and vegetables and foods that they're not normally eating, are they going to have to, you know, are they going to suffer as a consequence? They're used to foods that are really sweet.
Right.
They're used to foods that are really salty. They're used to foods that are really fatty. And what happens is if you do that for 6 weeks or more, change your diet for 6 weeks or more, your tastes start to change. That food that you used to eat that tastes so delicious now will be too sweet. That food that you used to like now is going to be too salty. Your taste will change with time. And that's an encouragement I really want to give people.
What would you suggest would be the ideal diet? I know everybody's different, but what would you suggest would be the ideal diet?
Well, if we look at the research in terms of long-term studies, not just short-term studies, but long-term studies, 10, 20 years or more, primarily plant-based diets are the healthiest. That doesn't mean you need to become vegan or vegetarian. A Mediterranean diet is very healthy. Something called the DASH diet, which was designed to decrease the risk of hypertension, high blood pressure, that's very healthy. But these are all primarily plant-based, lots of fruits and vegetables, whole grains, legumes, and smaller amounts of meat, dairy, eggs, and those sorts of things. So that's what the research tells us.
So you can still eat and enjoy what you're eating without sacrificing, especially if your tastes do change because you're eating properly.
Absolutely.
Makes sense. Let's take a break. And when we come back, you got to tell us more, Dr. Steve. Thank you. Stand by. You're listening to WCHL 97.9 The Hill. My guest today is Dr. Steve Chaney, who is a professor emeritus, UNC Chapel Hill, scientist, and author of Slaying the Food Myths. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
We now return to Today's Business with Sharon Hill on 97.9 The Hill. Today's Business, focusing on business, innovation, and success right here in the Chapel Hill Carborough community. Once again, your host, Sharon Hill.
Thank you again for staying with us. My guest is Dr. Steve Chaney, professor emeritus at UNC Chapel Hill, scientist, and author of Slaying the Food Myths. Steve, before we go into it, please give our audience your contact information.
Well, again, you can reach me at healthtipsfromtheprofessor.com or slayingthefoodmyths.com. Both of them have contact me sections. Usually, I think it's the bottom of the webpage.
Webpage, thank you. Got to talk about organics. Everyone's saying, got to go organic to be healthy, to live longer. Tell us your thoughts on organic foods.
Well, let me start with being in agreement with virtually everybody has said. Particularly for fruits and vegetables, it's better to buy organic. If you have a limited food budget, there's something called the Dirty Dozen. You can Google it you can find it on Google. These are the fruits and vegetables that are most likely to be contaminated with pesticides and herbicides. So where it makes the biggest difference to get organic versus non-organic. So that's very useful. But let me go one step further, because people assume that organic means pure. It doesn't.
Whoa.
If you look at just pesticides and herbicides, they are lower on organic produce than they are on conventionally produced, but they're not zero. But there's an elephant in the room. And the elephant in the room is groundwater contamination.
Ooh.
Organic simply means that the crop was raised organically. And when organic produce is tested, it's tested for herbicides and pesticides to make sure nobody sprayed that on them. But groundwater can still be contaminated with lead, with arsenic, with industrial chemicals. Nobody's testing for that. And I can cite, and I give some examples in the book, but many, many examples where organic produce and organically labeled products, protein powders and processed prepared foods that are organic, when you actually analyze them, they end up contaminated with lead or arsenic or something you wouldn't have expected. So organic doesn't mean pure.
That is amazing. All right, so be aware, audience. But what should people do? If it says organic, what should they do?
Well, again, you just need to be, and there's some things that are more susceptible than others. So rice is a particular example.
Uh-huh.
If you think about groundwater contamination, what crop is raised most of its life in water?
Rice.
Rice. So rice is one of the ones that you have to be most careful with.
And whether it's brown rice or white rice, it's rice.
It's rice.
Very quickly, let's move to your section about avoid the center of the supermarket. Please tell our audience about that.
Well, I mean, that's pretty much common sense. The healthy foods, the meats, the dairy, the produce, those are all around the periphery of the supermarket.
Yes.
It's the junk foods that they tend to put in the middle. Now, there's some exceptions to that. But in general, the more time you spend around the periphery and the less time in the center, the healthier your shopping cart is going to be when you exit the supermarket.
That is wonderful advice. I wish we had more time, Steve, but our time is up right now. Very quickly, do you see people one-on-one, or does everybody get what they need from your books and from your blog?
Right now, everybody is going to get what they need from my books and my blog.
Okay.
I may at some time, you know, set up some sort of coaching. It probably won't be one-on-one, but it might be in a group format.
Okay. Thank you so much. Again, thank you. Thank you. Friends, you've been listening to WCHL 97.9 The Hill. My guest has been Dr. Steve Chaney, Professor Emeritus from UNC Chapel Hill, scientist and the author of Slaying the Food Myths. That's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening.
You've been listening to Today's Business with Sharon Hill on 97.9 The Hill. Remember, you can find this episode and all other episodes of Today's Business on our website, chapelboro.com. Join us again next week for the next edition of Today's Business on 97.9 The Hill.